Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak. I'm Ilan Azulay, I'm a spiritual mentor and a sound therapist for you who are ready to reclaim your power, to discover your gifts, to remember your gifts, and to bring them out to the world with the power of music, the power of your thought and of your words. And this is an empowerment program, and in this program I bring guests that are spiritualists, artists, musicians, any person who is in their journey and experiencing their gifts, bringing their gifts out to the world to encourage each one of us. But these days of the Jewish festivities of light, Hanukkah, we are reminded and encouraged by the stories of the Maccabees, whose determination, faith, and commitment landed them a victory over the dark side, the Greek at that time, who sought out to destroy the culture and essence of Israel. In today's coronic era, we too find ourselves in the midst of a huge shift. And while I and many others have been talking and feeling the energetic shift that has the potential in shifting our perception and level of consciousness for several years, now, today, is the time where all realities and beliefs are coming to the surface, as if they're pushing through a narrow bottleneck. It is during these times that we feel the contradiction between the good and evil, the kind and the ego, the love and those who deny it. Today, I am pleased and honored and happy to have a wonderful guest, Rachel Schwartz, and she is a Kabbalistic astrologer, and she is in New York. Here we go. I can hear you. Hi, Rachel. How are you?
Hi, Ilan. I'm very good. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Lovely to have you. And I'm so happy that we got to connect. I don't know even how we just connected because we're supposed to connect.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
So thank you for being here, Rachel. Rachel, you are also from the same village where I'm from, Israel. And you're a Kabbalistic astrologer. Now, it's not every day that one just wakes up in the morning and says, you know what, I'm going to be an astrologer and I'm going to be a Kabbalistic astrologer. So tell us a little bit about you and what does that mean and how does that work for you and how are you able to help people with this?
You know, it's so funny because not only did I not wake up one day, I never believed in astrology. I wasn't one of those people that from a very young age gets into it, knows what every sign means. Yeah, opposite, yeah, yeah. Even in the magazine, you know, in the paper, you have it at the end. I would be like, I was just waiting to see when is my birthday, right?
Just to see what that means on your birthday.
Exactly. But I did start a spiritual journey and I started studying Kabbalah. And I actually started in the Israeli Kabbalah Center in Tel Aviv. And one of the first questions they asked me is, what's your sign? And as a good Leo, I said, do you believe in that stuff? But I'm a Leo. It's
as
the
a good
best
Leo.
Sign, right? It's the best sign, right?
But you don't believe in it, right? You didn't believe in it at that time.
I did. I, you know what? That's the problem of the Leo, that we do feel we are the best no matter what. But honestly, then I really started to learn more about it. I got really acquainted with it. And I've been reading books. And for many, many years now, I'm doing sessions. I'm meeting people. I'm teaching astrology.
That's wonderful.
Yes. And I continue to learn all the time, you know. So
yeah, that's wonderful.
An amazing journey.
That's wonderful. And did you have, now is your family religious?
I grew up in a traditional home.
I know what that
means. You know, Sephardic Jews.
Yes.
We kept kosher, we kept Shabbat, like kind of kept watching TV and not driving.
Yeah, yeah. Having Shabbat dinner than going to the beach. Yes.
Exactly. Something like that. But you know, the tradition was there. I was a little rebelling against it, to be honest, that I didn't really like the idea of God is a guy that cares about what I eat or if I like on Yom Kippur, if I watch TV or not. It was hard for me to believe also that you can do whatever you want and then you fast one day and everything is clearing for you, right? Mm. So I went through actually a different journey. I started really understanding that there's so much more than just the rules, it's a way of living, that everything is a secret to our existence. And even kosher, for instance, nobody's going to punish you if you don't, but there's an energetic reason to everything that we do, including to when we are born.
Yeah.
So if you came in a certain time, in a certain date, in a certain place, the way that the planets and the stars even arrange at that time is giving us a lot of great information as of to your soul's journey, where you're coming from and where you're headed.
You know, many times when people would read astrology, forecasts, but more of an analyzing. Analyzing, let's say, somebody would tell me, you are Gemini, so you are probably da-da-da-da-da. You know, so the point is, it's never not true, right?
Right.
So basically, we're receiving information that we already know, right? Oh yeah, I know I'm like that. But now we're talking about forecasts. And forecasts is basically by the movement of the stars and by the constellations and the places, it forecasts our emotional state, right?
Right. There is an emotional state. There are actually also physical things. But I want you to understand that even when we talk about your characteristics, right? Gemini, right? You're a very curious human being. You know you're curious. Nobody needs to tell you. As a Gemini, you have commitment issues. You know that somewhere. Nobody needs to tell you that. But why do you have commitment issues? Where is it coming from? What is the duality and what are the benefits of having the dualities? Astrology, and especially Kabbalistic astrology, whoever really looks at it, we can look at it like, what can I do? I'm a Gemini, so I'm all over the place. Or I can say, I'm a Gemini, so I have those tendencies, but my job spiritually is to be above the influence of the stars, the planets. And when I understand myself in a deeper way, for instance, Geminis are really afraid of commitment because actually when they are committed, they're so all in that they can lose themselves. People can think the Geminis are superficial. Oh, they want to be like a butterfly. But no, it's because actually it's opposite. They're so easily adapting to people and become the other person.
Become the other side.
Right? Yeah. So they can.
Yeah, we talked about this. We talked about this last time. We talked about the adaptability. I remember as a child, you know, I would kind of like be kind of proud of that, really, that I was able to adapt, you know, and to blend when I wanted to. But here's the thing, there are sides, right? It's when you want to. But so this is very interesting. But here's the thing, you know, I know what you're saying about why are we afraid of commitment? The question is, and this is the work I do when I do spiritual work and I do spiritual guidance, it is really to find what place we inhabit within ourselves that produce certain outcomes, that produce certain behavior patterns or what traumas we went through. You know,
right. You
could say that the commitment issues could be of traumatic issues.
Absolutely.
Now, we all went through trauma, right?
Absolutely.
We all experienced the same feelings just with different stories. So if we are striving to defeat what the characteristics are, now, again, given that I know and you know that we are not this body, right?
Right.
We are, this is like a car. This is a car and we are the driver of the car.
Absolutely.
So if the characteristics of the stars, for example, are saying, oh, you are like you deny what you are, all right? For example, and you want to defeat that, but not to defeat, but to overcome that, it's kind of like admitting that you are the body and you are trying now to work hard to defeat that or to overcome it, when in essence, you're not that body. So why not to take that and to bring it to a different place, but that can empower you, rather saying that, oh, I'm part of it, and let me fight it, because I really have to fight it. I'm above
it. It's not about fighting at all. There's no fighting in that process. It's not about fighting.
Yeah.
So for instance, if we look at a person like you, that, you know, you have Moon in Pisces, and Moon in Pisces is an extremely, extremely, extremely sensitive person. Sensitive to the point that when you were a child, you could even feel what's going to come. Mm-hmm. Not only what happened, mm-hmm. what's going to happen. And for you, because you're Moon in Pisces, and there's an indication in the chart that, again, if you want, we can talk about it a little bit, that your mother was a sacrificer, that there was a lot of sacrifice from mm-hmm. her perspective. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the thing? The thing is that if we understand, for instance, that somewhere you wanted so much to feel closeness to your mother, that somewhere you became like your mother, you became as sacrificer as she is. But listen to that. You have a tendency to want to be so righteous, so pure, so selfless, to the point that sometimes you're not going to pay attention to your own needs. And what happens as a result? When you don't pay attention to your own needs and to your own emotions and to your own pain, mm-hmm. you eventually, it's going to come out in a different way.
But so isn't that
in Pisces, it can come in all kinds of ways: addiction, escapism, depression, anger attacks, all kinds of, and even in the body. So if you understand that actually based on even your moon sign, you need to know that actually, I know I want to be always righteous and never be selfish and only do selfless acts, but I'm a human. And as a human, sometimes I'll get upset. And as a human, I need to accept my humanness.
Mm-hmm.
It can take you to a much stronger place. You're not going to have to deal all of a sudden with an emotional attack mm-hmm. somewhere mm-hmm. that comes out of nowhere. You understand? It's really mindfulness. It
For
awakens
sure.
you to see.
For sure,
who you
for
are. Sure. And of course, for you, because of how you are, you're very aware. You're very out of the box type of person. Not everybody is like you. Not everybody is in the spiritual place you're in. You understand? Mm-hmm, so you take things and your chart is going to tell us, for instance, your chart is saying that if you want something, you're going to get it.
Abracadabra, right?
It's desire. When you're connected to your real desire, nothing will ever stop you. If you know something like that, and there are things in your life that you don't have, you're going to understand somewhere that maybe it's because I'm not connected enough mm-hmm. to my desire.
Isn't desire coming from a place of lack? Desire arises from a place of no desire.
Desire what is
arises
Kabbalah?
From a place. Kabbalah is the receiving, right?
Exactly.
Being the receptacle.
How do you receive if you have no desire? We're all vessels.
I understand that, but the thing is, right? The desire arises. I'm reiterating. The desire comes from a place of needing something. Of place of a need, place of a lack, but many times it is kind of really a thank you, by the way. This is and if you're hearing this, I mean, you just give some some things away. But here is the thing: if I'm in a desire place, if I'm lacking something, right? The desire comes out of a place of lack, of need. Okay. So I'm in a place of need. So for example, whatever that is needed, you know, if I'm becoming that need, if I'm coming and I'm making decisions and choice from that narrow place of need, you know, we grew up in Israel, we've seen things, you know, oh, this was missing, we wanted this. If you come from this place of need, then the view is very narrow. So many times that desire which we wanted to achieve never happened because we came from a place of need rather from a place of all inclusive and all
exactly
together.
Absolutely. That's the real desire. The real desire can never really come from a selfish place. Because selfish is not the real pure version of the desire. Amen. As people, we are a part of a whole. And as a part of a whole, our desire needs, as you say, to be inclusive of everybody. Yeah. So if you do something like this podcast, for you, yeah, of course, you have the side of the Gemini that you want to communicate, you want to learn new things, you want to give knowledge, you want to teach. It's the Gemini. But what you're doing is, like you say, I want to give voice to people. I want to give wisdom. You do it from a perspective of I want to do good things in the world. So when you want to give others,
yes,
that's the whole energy of, I mean, I don't know how much people know, the people who listen, but I don't know what they know and who knows the Kabbalistic concepts, but the whole idea of the being a spiritual being is to receive in order to share. That's the energy of the balance. When I receive with the consciousness of sharing, I'm never going to be lacking. And I'm going to constantly be in a flow.
It's like,
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And the desire that you're talking about, yes, you're talking about the purest version of the desire compared to the selfish desire. And you're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
And for you, because for you in particular, in your chart, you came to this life already not with a selfish desire. You weren't selfish. You came to this world already not selfish. Your work is actually easier in some ways because you don't have to first just forget about the neediness, because you automatically have a desire to make an impact. You have a desire to influence. So you have a section of the road that you didn't have to get through, but which is a great thing. But now the work is, what is my bigger desire? What is my dramatic? How much can I impact the world?
More than what is happening.
Exactly.
This is interesting. You know Rabbi Sachs? Do you remember Rabbi Sachs?
I mean,
passed away, unfortunately, a couple of months ago. Oh, what a wonderful treasure to the world.
What a wonderful
What
man.
A light. Oh, I have the... You know, he passed away on the day that Leonard Cohen passed away.
Wow.
Yeah, and I remember... And 3 years ago, we had a ceremony that he gave on the day that Leonard, on the week that Leonard Cohen passed away, and it was around the same. So it's really, but he said a beautiful, beautiful thing, and such a profound thing. He says, the meaning of a system always lies outside of the system. It's never inside the system.
What we're talking here about
the desire not to incubate that, not for it to stay here, but for it to flow. And this is
what
many times we talk with channelers or with somebody like yourself, where it doesn't stay there, it is here to flow, to be, another rabbi said that if you have an issue receiving things, make sure that your intention is not a receiving for you. It is receiving for somebody else. So you can receive something and say, thank you, but you know it doesn't stay with you. It goes further.
Right. But you some know, needs to also stay with you.
For sure, yes.
Right? Like, it's not the whole idea is that we need to understand that we really deserve a fulfilling life. And if I do things that are meaningless, if I just chase after physical things, like I want a bigger house or a nicer car, or I'm going to get it. But you know how it is. You get it. And how much does it hold happiness?
Exactly.
For you? But how amazing it is when somebody comes back to you and tells you, listen, Ilan, you changed my life. You healed me. You opened up. And again, it's not about the ego. It's about the fulfillment. It's how much and what really holds, you know, that even when we talk about pleasure, a lot of people are looking for pleasure, pleasure, physical pleasure, monetary, good food, all the physical joys of the world, right?
Yes.
There's no problem to enjoy, but you know that even all the systems of experiencing pleasure in our brain, after a short while, they won't feel it anymore. Start to eat an amazing cake or start to do something that is extremely pleasurable. How much is it going to hold?
Exactly.
But the pleasure that is the infinite pleasure is the meaningfulness. And it's exactly what you said. When you even when we study, you and I are both signs that love to study new things. And we think, wow, I'm going to give it to somebody. I'm going to teach it to someone. How amazing is that?
It is. It is. So in your work, so let's go back to your work. So you work primarily with who? You work with anybody? You work with couples? You work with men?
Anybody. I work with anybody that is up for understanding what they are here to do in this lifetime, that are open to change what needs to be changed, that are interested in really getting a real fulfillment in a spiritual way.
Yep.
Again, it could be very much done in a physical way, but that eventually it will move them to a place of a spiritual fulfillment.
Amen.
When somebody meets with me, they need to know that I'm going to tell them what they have to work on. I'm going to tell them what they have to change. To talk about the future or predictions like that, I'm going to tell you something. There's a very famous saying that everything is written, but the permission is given. You have the permission to change. So even though there's certain things that are written, the whole understanding, you know, the Rambam, I think we talked about it.
Maimonides.
The Rambam forbid to write to do astrology. Why? Why so many people, religious Jewish people, don't want to study it? Because if you look at it as that's my force, what can I do? That's idol worshiping. It's called avodat kocham. But if you look at it as this is something that I'm here to learn and to pay attention next time that I do it, not to do it, because my light and my energy are not going to come from my robotic behavior.
Yeah. It's not going. This is not where the buck stops. Basically,
exactly.
Not to make the stars as the point. That
exactly.
is not, this is a tool. It's just like sound. I had the same thing with working with Tibetan bowls and sound and everything. It's really a tool too. But for example, if we look at our forefather, at Abraham, right? Abraham was a great astrologer.
Exactly.
God took him out and said, look, you know, this is how your lineage is going to look like.
Right.
As many stars, right?
So everything.
He saw everything,
yeah. But you know that also there's a part that Abraham saw. The Zohar says that that Abraham saw that he's not going to have children.
That's right.
In the stars.
That is true. But then he was said that we are above stars.
Exactly. So first of all, it says, En mazal Israel. It's not just Israel. Is actually a consciousness. It's a consciousness, which means that the letters of Israel are Li Rosh, which means it's people that understand that Sof Ma'aseh B'Machshava Tchila, whoever speaks Hebrew, the end of the action always starts with the seed level of a thought.
Exactly.
And people that understand that the consciousness is what eventually will create your reality are people that are not like bound or abide by the planets. People that are just letting life, again, living it in a robotic way, without mindfulness, without trying to go deep, without looking for answers in a deeper way, these people can be influence no matter what they are. They can the Jewishest Jew or the
because I've seen you know, I've met many Jewish people that are like diehard astrologers and diehard in astrology, and if that star didn't say this week, nope, it's not going to happen. I was like,
right. And I never do that, because sometimes, you know, there's something that is called a solar return, which means that you look at where you're going to be, and some astrologer will send you to India to be on your birthday in India. Or I believe that the physical reality absolutely can make some change, but you can go to Alaska or to India or to Hawaii, but if you don't do your spiritual work, it's not going to make an effect. You don't go, but you do your spiritual work, you're going to have an effect that is much stronger.
That's right. The calendar that we are going by today really goes, you know, is a sun calendar. The Muslims, for example, are going by the moon only. So holiday can be one in the winter, one in the, you know, one in the summer, one in the winter.
We all remember it in Israel, right? The Ramadan. We're like, you never know when it is.
You never know when it's going to happen. So, but how does the Kabbalah works if it's astrology? Does it like Judaism, where it takes, in Judaism, really it's both. It's the combination of both, and you have 13 months. And so is the Kabbalah work, why did you explain how the astrology in Kabbalah?
So I'm going to tell you, the years go by the sun and the months go by the moon. So the beginning, we're in a new moon energy. The beginning of the moon is the beginning of the month. We call the Rosh Chodesh, the head of the month. And in this Kabbalistic astrology, if someone is born in the new moon or the new month, for instance, Capricorn now, even if in the Gregorian calendar, they're still under the influence of Sagittarius, they will have the tikkun or the work of the Capricorn.
The soul work
work of the Capricorn. So in that example, person can still have a lot of love of freedom, exploration, learning of the side of the Sagittarius and truth and justice. But they're gonna be much more serious, like the Capricorn. They're gonna have a lot of other influences. We absolutely look at the Kabbalah. For me, in the Kabbalistic astrology point of view, I believe that the Hebrew calendar or the Hebrew birthday is actually many, many times showing us our gifts, from my experience. The gifts, where are they hidden, you know?
So you were born in, you are Leo, so you were born what? In
the month of August. And my Hebrew month is Av.
Av. So how do you draw from that for your gifts? How do you draw from August?
I'll give you an example. Leo is ruled by the sun. The month of Av is a month that we, you know, by the way, when I talk about even summer or winter, it goes by the energy of Israel, the land of Israel, according to Kabbalah, and not only according to Kabbalah, if you look at it in real life, you'll see how many religions and people fight over that small
piece of land.
And I remember when we were growing up, they used to tell us, because it was the conjunction, like, you know, everybody, but
that's
today, who
thing.
Needs
yeah,
that?
That's the physical,
right? The Holy of Holies that is in Jerusalem is the highest point of energy of the world. That's why Israel is considered a point that all the light comes to the rest of the world from, all the energy starts there. It doesn't mean that other places don't have, it just the energy starts there. And that's why you will check many times by Israel time. But the point is that in the summer, the sun is very, very strong. Leos are ruled by the sun. Now, what is the sun? The sun is a ball of fire, the center of the system. All the planets revolve around the sun. And that's why Leos, by their nature, will feel, my, it's not all about me. What do you mean? It's not. It is. The good is me, but also the not so good is me. It's my responsibility, everybody else's happiness. You know, you're a Gemini, you're an entertainer. You feel you always have to interest everybody else. The Leo feels, I always have to lead everybody else. I always have to influence, just like the sun. But if you sit too long in the sun, I mean, Sephardic, we have a little luckier thing there, but still, you know, when you're... They become chocolate, right? But somebody that is very, very white will become burnt by the sun. And that's what Leos can do many times. Leos sometimes can be so intense and want to give and want to tell and want to tell you what you need to do and what you need to do to the point that they can burn somebody. So what's the work of the Leo? As much as it's a very hard thing for us to do because we feel we know everything. A little bit like the Gemini, but from a different perspective.
You just want to, you just don't want to feel bad by yourself, so you're putting me in. Okay, that's all right. I get you.
Yeah, you know, I'm dragging you into I am a Leo. I need to look perfect. No, but really, the work is really to say, even if I want to tell you now something, did you ask me? Leo's many times will come and offer advice and nobody asked them. And I can tell you that a lot of times in my life, people felt very controlled by me or that I shove it down their throat. And now my job is to tell people those things. So obviously I'm very happy and blessed, but you always have to check. You as a Gemini know how to do it, to put yourself in the other person's shoes, to feel who is in front of me. How can
I hope so. You know, sometimes we have, sometimes it doesn't work, but when I recognize it works,
right.
You know, I have to say that. So, because I'm sure that, you know, we're all, as you said, we're all humans. And this is the thing about being, because all through this work, it's very important to be gentle with ourselves, right? Now, so I'm saying, so people ask me, well, what does that mean, being gentle? And one of the things that I say, like, how does it manifest? You know, we can talk all these words, be in your thing, be gentle with yourself. What does that mean? How does that? One of the things is the judgment, right? You just by what you said and how you experienced it, judgment is strong. Everybody judges themselves because we are that kind of duality, right?
We're
that kind. And one of the things that I have, and one of the things that I tell people is that, you know, what we did a year ago, where we were a year ago, 5 years ago, some, you know, sometimes we still have to take, to be accountable and to take responsibility for these actions and be there. And whether it is whatever to do to rectify these issues, especially in relationships. But the thing is that when we were 5 years ago, the way we were, it is the way we were with the eyes of then. Today, we have different set of eyes. So many times what we do, we look back then with the eyes of today. And that's a disservice because back then we didn't have these understandings.
I love it. It's so true.
So I say, people, you know, let's look at how you were there and see the difference, the distance that you've gone through to be able to correct that. How do you...
It requires a lot of mercy and compassion to oneself. And I'll tell you another thing that I'm thinking about is that forgiving oneself or forgiving someone else, it's really about understanding that at the end of the day, it did happen the way it was supposed to happen.
For sure.
Right? So if it happened the way it was supposed to happen, why am I judging myself? I need to learn. I need to learn. So let's say I did tell somebody something that they weren't ready to hear. If I said it, listen, they were supposed to hear it. The fact that next time I need to look into myself and say, hey, be more sensitive, it's true. But the fact that if I look at the situation
mm-hmm.
as it shouldn't have happened,
mm-hmm.
I am missing the whole
the
point
spiritually. The whole point. Yeah.
Everything happens for a reason.
Everything learning, that has in this right? world, that is in this world, everything in this dimension has a spiritual reason and cause.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so it is being aware of the lay of the land. That's how I like to use it. To be aware of the lay of the land. I'm coming to Italy. Okay, what's the lay of the land here? And you know, so when people come to you, do they come to you because they seek an answer to a question that they have, or they are in the midst of a situation that they don't know what to do? Like what kind of situations people would come and seek you out for?
So first of all, most people, when they come from, because they're on a journey, they're on a spiritual journey. So many of them come because they really want to understand why they are here. Why am I here? Mm-hmm, what's my tikkun? Mm-hmm. What did mm-hmm. I come to correct in this lifetime?
Yeah.
Now, all of us, and as you said before, everybody has a trauma. Everybody has a place in their lives that they would love to improve, to have it better. And many people, when they come, they will have questions. Why can't I meet my soulmate? Or what do I need to do to bring my soulmate?
Bring my soulmate forward, yeah.
How can I have more success in my business? How can I improve the relationship with my children? Even health things are indicated in the chart. So the chart really gives us an answer. And I'll tell you something. So let's say somebody can't get themselves into a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. But you see that actually it does come from a place that the person is so afraid because of trauma that they had. Or they just love their freedom and independence and they can't really, as much as they want on one hand, the love of freedom doesn't let them stay. It always eventually they'll create a situation that will sabotage your relationship because they want to stay free. When you understand the reasoning of why things are happening, at the end of the day, it's all about what we need to work on.
That's right.
So if I understand, for instance, that my relationship with my child, a lot of times I talk to mothers and they'll say, I do everything that my parents didn't do for me. I do it to my children and look. And I'll say, that's the problem. Because you don't do what your child wants. You mm-hmm. do what you didn't get.
Following a pattern, come. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So even if it's an opposite pattern, you're still robotic.
That's
you're
right.
You're not really seeing what your child needs, right?
That's
so the
right.
child will live and show us the relationship with the mother.
Well, that's right. That's right. Absolutely.
There are a lot of things that you can extract and be answered by a chart.
So there are situations many times, and I know that, you know, if things have to happen, they have to happen, right? They have to happen. So if let's say I'm looking at a maze, and there are four exits on top and four entrances on the bottom, right? And on top, on one of the exits, there is an apple. So one of the entrances will reach the apple. We don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever choice we make, that choice is already predetermined, right? So if we choose that way, it will already reach or not reach.
Certain, yeah.
Right? So our power really is not in the choices that we make, but in the places that we inhabit within ourselves to make that choice. Right. So it's before we even make the choice. Now, so if we know that something is about to happen, if we know something is about to happen, and we don't do that, is it always, do you feel that it's always going to happen? Or is it just going to say, the train came, you passed, bye-bye. You didn't jump on the train, the train will...
You missed the opportunity.
You missed the train. But there are certain things that are not that case. There are certain things that whether you want to miss the train or don't want to miss the train, you're going to get hit by the train.
Yes. That's
so, so what are the things that you find are those things that we can alter, we can maneuver through, we can refine, we can add sweetness to the experience? And what situations, there's nothing, doesn't matter what you do, is going to come. Like, we're going to pass away from this corridor. We know that. We just don't know when. So that's one thing. But let's bring it more to something that is more manageable, that is more, it's funny. It's kind of ironic I say manageable. But bring it to a place. Are there situations that you find that your reading, your Kabbalistic reading is going to change, or no matter what you're not going to do, it's not going to change?
Okay, so I'll give you an example. There's a point in the chart that is called the North Node. Mm-hmm. And the North Node is what you need to get to in this lifetime. Where you need to get to. So for instance, if somebody's North Node mm-hmm. is in the sign Pisces, mm-hmm. this person is going to have to get to the point in this life that they are compassionate. Mm. It's going to have to happen. Usually it means that in previous lives, they were not compassionate, yeah. They were judgmental, cold. There are two ways to get there. There's a way of a spiritual growth and understanding compassion and starting to be aware mm-hmm. and pay attention and work on my mm-hmm. judgment and all mm-hmm. that. And there's a way that the person is going to get hit so many times, even abuse, even all kinds of different situations, until that person will learn, hey, that's how I felt. So that's compassion. Mm. So the path, now, most people that have that North Node, I mean, 90% of the people would have some sort of an abuse in the beginning of their lives.
So you're saying compassionate people are most likely those who experienced abuse.
Right. Mm. So abuse has all kinds of reasons. Yeah. Abuse can be also to teach you to not be a victim. Mm-hmm. But abuse also awakens us to a place of feeling at the other people. You know, there's a very, you know, Dudu Topaz, he was a yeah. Virgo. And even though he had all kinds of crazy stuff at the end of his life, he used to actually study Kabbalah. And one time I read an article about him. He was a Virgo, and Virgos are known for their judgment. They're known to be judgmental from the perspective of their tikkun, of their correction. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he said, I really, really loved it. He said, actually, I think it was in the last poem he wrote. He said that compassion is not to feel bad for the other person. It's to look at the other person and say, I could have been in that place. It could have been me there.
Exactly. Oh, man. I know exactly what
How powerful is that?
Powerful.
When I
powerful,
heard that, you know? It changed my mind, my head so much, because I always thought compassion is to feel, oh, the poor person. No.
No, 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 no.
It's to look even at the person that is in the lowest place and say, you know what, if my circumstances or my talents or my upbringing or my lucky stars were different, I could have been in that situation.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing for, you know, I read some of his things. Dudu Topaz, to those who are listening, he was an Israeli entertainer. He passed away many years ago. And he had some pretty profound sentences at the end, yeah, towards it, but also in the middle, you know, very mundane sentences. Like he did a bit called Tel Aviv, Los Angeles. Right. Mm. And he came here, you know, the desires of Israelis to be in the, you know, or that time to be, oh, look at me, all this kind of stuff. And then eventually he comes back to Israel and they ask him, well, so how do you find Israel? He said, wow, America. It's like, great. But here, you know, this is really powerful. This is powerful. I remember when I worked on a project on a film, and I really looked at worked with a lot of people that and women that were on the red light district of Tel Aviv, right, and the old bus depot, and you know, I have all the, and I hear this is something I'm sharing with the entire whoever is watching. I have all the ingredients that I could have been right there. All the ingredients of being an inhabitant of of that place. And I didn't. So, you know, you can look at it and say, you know, it's a miracle. You know, it's a miracle, or there is something definitely that I don't understand yet. Because I think that based on what you're saying, I mean, in conjunction with what you're saying, and this is an understanding that I got a little while ago. You know how in Judaism, it is a cumulative religion, meaning if a rabbi made a halacha, it cannot be taken away, but it can always be added over generations.
Yes.
You know, Israel is a cumulative, it's like added religion, right? And this is how our experience is here. Our neshama, our soul level, is added. So we come here, let's say, after 979 times of living, we come back, and so everything is added except for the memory, except for the mind, memory. The memory is always like a hit reset button. So you hit the reset button on the computer when you want to reboot it, it starts all over, but it keeps all its data, it keeps all its information. You lost all the RAM, all the random access memory, so now you have to look for it again. You have to look for it, and you have to find it. And this is how I find ourselves, that we have to remember our memories. We have to remember our journey.
What we've learned.
Well, we have to remember. That's right. We have to remember.
Right? Our soul knows everything.
Yes, yes.
Our soul doesn't need to learn anything. We're connected to the totality of the creation. We are all one. I don't need to learn who you are. I just need to know to connect to you from my soul to your soul, because we're one. When you get into it from that perspective of oneness, you understand that I want you to have a good life. I want you to be successful. I want you to have a good relationship. I want you to be happy. It's my benefit. The understanding that we're all one, which you with your Pisces moon, I'm sure understand it very much. But when the more people will understand that, the less even war we're going to have. Because no matter what, if somebody says, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine.
Yeah, this whole generation with the iPhone, iPad, it's I.
Totally. Yeah,
we forgot the whole, we're in Hanukkah. We're now in Hanukkah. Okay, this is perfect. It says in Hanukkah, everybody is a little candle, but together we are a strong light.
Yeah.
We're a strong light. And we really just need one little flame to evaporate darkness. It doesn't go away to the other room. It just evaporates. It just goes poof.
Yeah.
And the coming together, everybody who is listening, Jews, non-Jews, Christians, Muslims, whatever that is, when we come together, there are two things that are happening. First of all, we are becoming better. We feel that betterness. And it's so a shame that sometimes things like September 11th or things happening, but when that happened, I remember I was in Boston. Actually, I was supposed to be on that flight from Boston to LA. I had a ticket already. Gosh. Yeah. That flight, 11. Yeah. The 7:30 in the morning to come see my kids here in LA.
Oh my God.
So,
wow.
But here's the thing. After that happened, it was so pleasure to be in Boston because everybody cared for the other person. Everybody walked down the street, say, how are you doing? How are you? So there was a dip. There was a dip into this ice bucket to get down to the water, you know?
But why do we need chaos for that as people?
But maybe that's the duality that we sometimes need, that shaking, because we have both of us. It's like the song of Meir Banai. I have a little bit of this and I got a little bit of that. We have both of these things, and that's the duality that we're talking about. We are in a duality existence.
Right, and the duality is always the same issue that is manifested in two opposing ways.
And that's why I liked also when you said, and this is like Rabbi Schneerson said, there is good and there is the opposite of good, because in the opposite of good, there is also good.
Yeah, I love
it. And that's why what we see as things that are happening as quote-unquote bad, If we are understanding that everything is for the good of our journey, what do we have to learn? Now, listen, if somebody has their family passed away, it's hard to go to them and to tell them, listen, it is for the good, you know. It is hard.
It's funny you're saying it, because I kind of had a conversation like that with somebody a few months ago, and that was the case. And she said, no, loss is something that when it happens, you cannot see the good. There's no, you cannot. And
maybe at that moment, it's hard, you know?
Right, right.
I like to give this example of that when you knock the door on your thumb, your whole body is a thumb. It's not only the thumb.
Totally, with your pinky toe. Right?
It's the pinky. You have a little thorn in your pinky toe. Your whole body is uncomfortable.
The worst, right?
And it's the same thing. You know, when we're going through grief and stuff like that, it's hard to see. And if somebody says something, you know, God forbid, it comes across as, oh, who are you to come to tell me what now? I don't need to hear this. I need comfort. And
that's, sometimes that's what it's about. Sometimes we don't need to say anything. Trust me. Spoken as a Leo. Sometimes we don't need to say anything. Sometimes we just need to be there and to really be there.
Yeah.
That's sometimes a hard thing to do, but just to be there for the person, listen to them, feel with them, you know, whatever is going to take some of the pain. But to start rationalizing at times like that, it can come across as very insensitive and arrogant, you know. I want to say something about, there's something that is coming this coming Monday, and whoever is like a little curious.
Are we talking about the 21st?
Yes.
That's Monday, exactly. Right? I'm going to do a sound therapy on the 21st. So it's very important. I'm glad you brought it up. That's wonderful.
Perfect.
All right.
So we're going to have the great conjunction, which is something that some people call it the Star of Bethlehem.
That's
Bethlehem,
right.
Bethlehem, right? And some people call it the Star of Jacob. And it's a very powerful and important alignment that is happening. Basically, Jupiter and Saturn are going to conjunct. Mm-hmm. It's going to appear really big. And we can actually see that as really, really like one. It's going to look like one planet.
Big star. Yeah.
Yes, one big star. I want to say something about it, because a lot of people are talking about it as something really like bad. And I want to say two things about it. I want to first say that if we all think it's bad, it's going to be bad. Mm-hmm. We have, with our consciousness, an opportunity to see it as a good thing. What's happening right now in the world, and it's not only COVID, COVID is like the cherry on top. We've been dealing with things for such a long time, and it becomes, unfortunately, even more intense with time.
Every time,
another thing and another thing and another thing, like, you know, piling on one on top of the other. And you're going to do the therapy, which is super amazing. And I want everybody that listens to know that if you hear negative forecasts, choose not to believe the negative. Because what happens in our times is that we are in a time in what the Zohar calls Oy and Ashrei. Oy, for the people that are going to have the consciousness of fear, for the people that are going to feel that, the Zohar talks about it like the fear is going to make people lose their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that are going to have the consciousness, that are going to understand that it's all in my head, I control my reality with my consciousness, it's about sharing with other people, it's about doing in a big picture. The people that are in that consciousness are actually going to be in Ashrei, which is a blessing. Oy is woe, and Ashrei is like the highest level of blessing. It's joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
We can choose. We don't need to be in a place that we let that fear, and even the media, and everybody wants to scare more and more. Because then we know, I know it's a different time topic, but it's a way to control the masses, scare them.
That's right. It's
going to work every time.
Yep.
We need to be above the fear. We need to understand that there is, as you said, good and evil, But if we look at it above, because really, like you said, it's good or not good, mm-hmm. but it always mm-hmm. has good. The higher level of the consciousness is to understand, you know, like the song, Ve'ikar lo lefached klal, right?
That's right.
The most important thing is to understand that it's all an illusion. There's nothing to be afraid of. What's going to happen?
Yeah.
To exactly. learn how to tap into the courage at this time, rather than to go to the place that everybody, oh, we're going. A lot of people, not only astrologers, a lot of people like to predict negative forecasts.
Yeah.
Why?
That's right. Because you know, people like
people will always have negative yeah. situation, and it's going to yeah. be right somehow. And when you're scared, and when you put in somebody's mind that something bad is going to happen,
you're
going
to get
create a reality.
We talked about this a little bit.
You know, it's like you're going back to the same point, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So not to fall into it. To understand that the energy of Aquarius, which those both planets are in, it's an energy of going out of the logical mind. You're not an Aquarius, but you have a strong energy that is related to Aquarius in your chart, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Not everything is what you see.
That's right.
And most of it is not what you see.
That's right.
And now to be in a point that we understand that fear is never, never connected to the creator. Never.
Well, here's
fear
the thing.
Is not,
well, here's yeah. the thing. It's like saying there are people that would say darkness is the absence of light. But darkness was created for darkness. The same thing that fear was created for fear, so you can do what you need to do with fear, but it's not the absence of joy or love.
It has its own entity.
It has its own entity, yeah.
Right, but why are people afraid? Why are people afraid? Because they think that without fear, they're not going to be ready. People call me, should I take out all my money from my bonds? Should I do this? Should I? You want to be scared? What do you want?
Yeah. Yeah.
People are scared or fear comes from, it's for people that have fear. A lot of times will feel that it's a way to protect them. People think that like they hold on to the fear.
Yeah.
They don't really want to let go of it.
Of course not. Because
they feel that that's what protects them.
Also,
as
they feel that because
scared.
They know it, they think they know, so they rather stay with what they know, as shitty as it may be, but yeah. rather than the unknown.
Exactly. You know that Hanukkah is in the month of Kislev. Now,
yeah.
you know, we're moving to Ketu, but Kislev is the month of miracles. And miracles literally means that it's beyond logic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah.
It's beyond logic. Well, we have an yeah. opportunity to look at things that are beyond our logic, beyond the capability of the organized mind to understand how it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You don't need to know how it's going to happen. You need to know that it's available. And in the month of people that are Sagittarius as well know it very much, but in the month of Kislev, which is, but Hanukkah still drags that energy of miracles.
Yeah.
It's about understanding that I am entitled of miracles in my life. It's not everything that I do. If I do one and one, I'm going to have two. If I do one and one, it's like you say, the domino is one, but eventually it can create an effect of a big, much bigger machine,
yeah.
right? And it's the same when it comes to miracles. Miracles, it's not linear. It's not cerebral.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's something that can happen and we need to open ourselves. So if there are areas in our lives like that we want a miracle in, we see yeah. that we're stuck. Yeah, we need to make a commitment to change what we need to change. But in this holiday, we can first get the miracles and mm-hmm. then start doing the rest of the work, you know?
Wonderful, wonderful. Oh, so thank you very much. What a nice souvganiya, what a nice donut, sweetness of a donut in this Hanukkah time to have this conversation with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. So how can people find you? Website, Facebook, what?
So the best thing I would say is through my Facebook page.
I will put it here. It'll be looked.
Yes,
be here.
And also Instagram.
Okay.
That's you can just.
And what's on Facebook? What's your page on Facebook, Rachel Schwartz?
It's Rachel Schwartz, Kabbalistic Astrologer.
Okay, I'll put here the link. You guys have the link here.
Yeah, on Instagram, it's Rachel the Astrologer.
All right. Yeah. Rachel the Astrologer. Wonderful. Yeah. And you obviously can do readings over Zoom, over the phone.
Of course. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I do it with and people all over the
wonderful,
world.
There's wonderful. Wonderful.
There's no problem. Thank God we have an amazing technology now.
Well, now we're going to use it. Now, you know, nothing will go back because we're not going to go back. People are waiting for things to go back like they were. They're never going to go back.
No, and I'm happy about it.
And we are adaptable animals or not animals, but creatures.
Creatures, right.
And we'll, wonderful. Rachel, thank you so much. Rachel Schwartz, Kabbalistic Astrologer. And you're now in the East Coast, right? You're in New Jersey?
I live in Jersey.
You live in Jersey. Okay.
Jersey.
Okay. Well, thank you for being Rachel.
Thank you. Thank you for everybody for listening and being open. And thank you so much for having me and being such a great talking partner.
Yeah, this is great. We should do it more.
Totally. Legamre.
Also in Hebrew, we could do that. Thank you, everybody who's been watching. This is Abracadabra, Create What You Speak. Apropos, by the way, Abracadabra in Aramaic means I create as I speak. Not create coming from creation, not invention coming from something that exists, but creating something that doesn't exist. So we create what we speak. Thank you for being here. I'm Ilan Azulay, and I will see you next week.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.